And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome back to a late season edition of the Warriors All 82 podcast. Warriors Jazz, Tim Kawakami with me. Good win for the Warriors, you know. Should have been, seemed like it was trending towards being like a really controlling, impressive end-to-end performance. They're up, I believe, 18 with 7:29 left. You know, they had been up to that point, I think, plus 14 in the Curry minutes, plus 4 in the non-Curry minutes. It was like just like a really good team performance. And then even when Steph, you know, Steph is back in the game, and your guy Jordan Clarkson just has like a chunk scoring fourth quarter. He had 24 in the fourth, and really like nearly just ripped the win away from them, which we've
it does show you what a bunch of shots can either put you in the game or take you out of the game. And Clarkson shot so much that he kind of took the Jazz out, put him back in, took him out, put him back in, took him out. He put up 33 shots off the bench. If you hit five of them in a row, it's going to be a rally. And the Warriors couldn't score in return. I think they kind of got frozen up a little bit on offense on their side. And it just was Clarkson layup, Clarkson jumper, Clarkson layup. You know, it's the NBA. These guys are really, really talented. But if you're good, you hold up with it. And the Warriors barely held up. And it was a good win. It's a Jazz. I mean, even without Mike Conley Jr. and Donovan Mitchell, this is a good win for the Warriors.
Yeah, it's the type of win that several times this season they haven't won, which is giveaways late, right? I mean, the Wizards game, Charlotte, Orlando, Portland, you know, I can go down the list. But and in the playoffs, they will be, you know, and we could say play-in. It's, you know, maybe they get blown out in the play-in or blow somebody out. But in general, if they're going to be in the first round of the playoffs, they're going to be in some type of close games that swing a series, right? You know, you're down 2-1 in a game four, and it's a 5-point game late, or you know, even game one, whatever. And you know, I think the lesson, at least Steph Curry was talking about that they learned tonight, particularly in games they control. We can get into what you think about their matchup with Utah or Phoenix, who they'll play on Tuesday night, in general in a playoff series. But if they control a playoff game, particularly a home playoff game against Utah or Phoenix, and they're up double digits at some point in the second half, they can't lose focus. They lost focus. Yes, Clarkson kind of just, he is a burst scorer. It's why he's, you know, one of the leading six man of the year candidates. But they kind of they took their foot off the gas pedal. They stopped rotating as crisp behind Clarkson. Bazemore suddenly was giving him more lanes. And in past iterations of the Warriors, they could be in a series with the Utah Jazz and maybe give away a game. They're not going to be able to do that. They just can't do what they did tonight.
Yeah. Every team that they play, if they make it through the play-in in the playoffs, is going to be more talented than they are. You know, the Steph exception aside, you know, Steph going for 50, whatever, that's you have to put that to aside, but that's why it's great to have Steph Curry. You have that exception. But beyond that, every single team is going to, you know, 1 through 9, whatever the rotation is going to be more talented than the Warriors almost up and down the line. You're going to have to play almost perfectly. And those teams are going to play Steph like Utah played them. And it was very good. And he scored 35, 36 still. But it was hard for him. It wasn't threes so much. It was working to get twos, working to get fouled. And they will see that in a playoff series, no matter who they play, because they're going to have a dedicated defense set up to play him tough, to play him with length. I think that's the answer always against Steph. It doesn't mean you're going to stop him with length, but length is always better than that little pest in his stomach. The little pest in his stomach looks good, and he just gets pissed off and destroys that little pest. The length, like Royce O'Neal, there are other players. Avery Bradley's been another one who's had success. Those are the things that that you will see in the playoff series, and other Warriors are going to have to be successful offensively like they were tonight. Bazemore was successful tonight offensively. Jordan Poole was huge tonight. They will need those things to gut out a playoff series, even to be in it, so say, you know, beyond five games. And this was, you know, one test of it. Again, no Mike Conley Jr., who I think is maybe the most important player for the Jazz. Donovan Mitchell, who was their most dynamic player. These are things you have to take into account, but I think it's good for the Warriors to be in a game like this. As I said, like, the Warriors would have loved to see James Wiseman in a game like this. They probably lose it if he's playing 25 minutes, but this is where your players grow. If we're all assuming the Warriors are not going to win a championship, which we all do, you want to see him in a game like this, just grind it and figure out, oh, yeah, okay, this is how it feels like in a game like this. This was, you know, a little, you know, certainly one of the bigger games they played in two seasons. You know, it just amps it up a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. You know, this is about as well as you could have scripted their, like, balance of scoring. For, you know, they're playing this eight-man rotation, and it was Curry had 36, Poole had 20, including how about the half quarter?
That was nice. And just the will to take that shot's great, you know. And we've seen many very good players who don't take that shot, make sure the buzzer sounds before they put it up, make sure it doesn't go on their stats. And he put it up Steph Curry-like. We might as well.
Steph shouted him out for that exact reason post-game, just for not worrying about the percentages. Steph also did say earlier in the day at shoot-around, they were doing a half-court contest, and he's like, Poole was hot today from apparently from half-court, like 4 of 6 or something, I guess, in their contest. It was just odd to see somebody not Steph Curry make a half-quarter for the Warriors, because usually he's the only one that's taking them. Because, you know,
Exactly.
So he has 20, Bazemore 19, and maybe Bradley Beal's that whole drama lit a little fire under him. He came out in the second half like aggressive. I'm sure he saw some of the tweets at halftime.
It's not going to look good if I go 1 for 11 on this night when Bradley Beal's.
You see, Bradley Beal's wife tweeted like, "Oh, don't worry, he'll respond after his 8.1 assists, 1 rebound, 6 turnover, 6 foul game right now." It's like, geez, they're teaming. That was weird. If anyone actually cares, they can go search the Bradley Beal, Kent Bazemore situation.
I don't think this increases the likelihood of Bradley Beal being traded to the Warriors in the offseason. I'll put it that way, but whatever. It's minor. As Bazemore said, people will have some other thing to talk about tomorrow and the next day and the next
very
day.
Very true.
I will just say, Kent and all players, don't talk about players' injuries. Don't do that. Like, that's not. That's what pissed him off.
It was
off,
an
I'm
odd
sure.
comment. Don't talk it was about a it. Very odd comment.
Yeah, don't say that. Don't talk about injuries. These are players that, like, can, if Bazemore was hurt, he wouldn't like someone talking about him being hurt. So don't do it.
Yeah. So Wiggins had 14. It was actually one of Wiggins' quieter games recently. Yeah, but, you know, he has 14. Draymond had 12. Draymond had 10 in the first half. He had 15 in the first half the other night. It's not something that's, like, headline worthy. We're going to write some crazy story about because, I mean, he's still only scoring probably, like, 8-9 points per game in the last month or two. But that is, like, a jump. Compared to, like, early in the season when he was, like, it was, like, 0-2, 4-2, 0-4. Now, suddenly, it's 8, 12, he had 15, you know, 8 again, 9. Like, those are huge points. He's been better offensively the last month or so.
He's been more willing, certainly more willing. And, you know, like we always say, you have to at least take the shot. You also have to make some of them. And he is making some of them. And I think that is making him, you know, feel more comfortable about putting it. That first one was like rhythm, Draymond. I saw the key, boom. Like, you know, it wasn't even a second thought. It wasn't look for Steph. It was like, boom, I got it. I got a half step on a guy. Step on a guy is going up. And it was perfect. Doesn't mean that's going to happen all the time, but he clearly has it in him. I wonder if watching JTA play that same position when Draymond's out has, like, you know, I'm not saying he has to see JTA make three-pointers, but I just feel like, okay, JTA's shooting them. Like, I could shoot them. Like, you know, it's there. I'm an NBA player. I've made many three-pointers in my career. Why don't I shoot some of them? Again, he misses the next two, then he might not shoot them for a while. Who knows? But, you know, it's clearly a confidence game for him. But I think, obviously, I mean, a Draymond who can make a three a game or two threes or three threes a game since he's going to be wide open, it opens things up immensely for the Warriors. A Draymond who's willing, who's going to the rim on those dribble, you know, fake dribble handoffs, It makes them a far more dangerous offensive team, no question.
Yeah, and you know, like the stakes have arrived. You know, he kind of scoffed at the idea of the play-in tournament, and like at this point of his career, he's going to get psyched up for that. But I mean, that's the path in, and the path might go through the Lakers.
That I think has got their interest for sure. That part of it has got their interest for sure.
And he's playing better, which you would expect. You know, he always historically. I mean, even back all the Durant seasons that I was covering him, like he had generally. Well, the first Durant season, I believe that's the year he won Defensive Player of the Year. He had a great regular season, but the last two Durant seasons, he really didn't have good playoffs. And we were like going into the he didn't have good regular seasons going into the playoffs. We were questioning like, where's he at? And each year, he took a leap up, and right now it does seem to like he's ramping up towards that. I don't know. We'll see. But what else from the game? Anything stick out to you?
You know, the thought that Wiggins, you know, got the last two defensive possessions against Clarkson and made him shoot over him. Now the last one was a layup that Looney came and helped. But I think, you know, I praise Bazemore's defense. We know it comes and it goes. We know he fouls a lot. But Clarkson was torching him. And I think Bazemore was there for it. It wasn't being terrible on defense, but he was getting beat. And they put Wiggins on him for the last two possessions, and he has to shoot over Wiggins, misses, bricks a three, and has to dribble by him on his left, and gets, you know, has length to beat, and then has more length to beat with Looney. Just was the answer. It was a good switch up at the right time. And the fact that you've got Wiggins to do that, I was thinking about it, you know, Wiggins normally takes the forwards, not the guards. We know that. It's been Oubre and Bazemore on the guards. But the fact that you can switch him, like, you know, he doesn't have to guard whoever he, you know, whoever you're lining him up against. And he can go on Clarkson, the hot six-man guard who's going off for 24 and a quarter and to shut him out at the end. That's a nice thing to have. I mean, they've had that in their great years when you could put Livingston on somebody, or you could switch, put Iguodala on him, switch, put Clay on him. They don't have the same thing, but there's some semblance of it when you can just go, okay, if it's not Bazemore, it's Wiggins. That is, these are pieces to a larger puzzle, and it was something interesting to see. And then all the things that they're talking about and praising Wiggins for, that wasn't evidence of it. Then in the last moment, they showed it. Like, they believe in him. They put him on Jordan Clarkson, who was torching him, and he made it really hard for Jordan Clarkson.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Let's zoom out from the game. Memphis wins in New Orleans. I think the game was actually, it was in Memphis. But Memphis beats the Pelicans, which actually, when that goes down, it's the news for the Warriors that they clinched the play-in, because that so the Warriors are in the play-in. But, you know, from their perspective, you didn't want Memphis to win because that keeps pace. Memphis still has Dallas, two Kings games, both in Memphis, and then the Warriors finale on Sunday. The Warriors have Suns. Pelicans without Zion. You know, Zion fractured his finger, so it's really at this point a very bad Pelicans team. And then Grizzly Sunday. It's, barring an unlikely result or a couple unlikely results either way, it seems very clear to me that, you know, it's all signs are pointing towards basically a play-in to the safe side of the play-in on Sunday.
Sunday's the play-in to the play-in to figure out what spot you're in. Which is good. We like games that matter. And, you know, I guess the Warriors could break that up by beating Phoenix and win it out, right? If they win out, it doesn't matter. Well, I guess if they win out to the Memphis game, would the Memphis game still matter?
Yeah, well, because right now they're at the same number of losses, 33. Yeah. So even if Memphis, even if the Warriors won their next two and Memphis only lost one, like let's say Memphis loses to Dallas but then wins the two Kings games, it still is for the eight seed, because what you got to remember is the tiebreakers on the line, because it's 1-1.
They're headed towards that game. That's great. You know, you like significant games, and if a team plays better in significant games, that's a good sign for, you know, playoff hardiness, whether it's now or in the next season. These are great minutes for Jordan Poole. You know, these are great minutes for, you know, whoever else you're trying to figure out who's in that, you know, Juan Toscano-Anderson. Not quite sure who else we would for sure count in that in next year's rotation alongside, obviously, Steph, Draymond, and Looney and Wiggins too. I guess it's good. You know, it's good for them to see Wiggins in these minutes. Yeah. They hadn't seen Wiggins in this sort of situation. Offensively, the shot wasn't there, but we've seen that a lot. And he's still out there, right? I mean, they got to play him. He's playing, you know, running around, playing hard, defending, being long. The other thing I would say, JTA, I think four steals.
In the first half, I believe.
Utah was loose.
Say it again? All in the first half. He had four steals in the first half.
Yep. Yeah, Utah was loose with the ball there for a lot of it. That's one of the ways he's built up that lead. And he was just whacking it away. He's like, you know, they don't have a point guard, right? And their point guard's out. Their main playmaker, Mitchell's out. So they had some struggles. You know, there's only so much George Niang is going to be able to do, and you know, whatever he was, or Joe Ingles, or whoever had to try to be the point guard. And JTA was just swarming that ball, and that's what he can do. That's what his thing is. That's what's got him in this rotation, and that's what has him pointed to being some sort of rotation player next season. And I give him full credit.
That's a good transition to the roster situation. JTA, you know, is the plan is to convert him this week. I believe the day is Wednesday or Thursday, when the Warriors are forced to have a 14th man on their roster, and that will be the day, just for luxury tax saving purposes, that JTA will finally kind of get his promotion, and then Jordan Bell can slide into that vacant two-way slot, which, by the way, how about that?
No, that will be something. That is something. That was a surprise to me. I don't know if it was a surprise to you, but, ninth man, who knows how much he's going to play, but they'll go to Jordan Bell over playing Smiley Geach any minutes. That tells you something.
Yeah,
right there.
You know, I just talking with some people behind the scenes. Like it's a big that knows how they play.
He can screen for Steph. Yes, somebody can screen for Steph.
There weren't any other bigs out there on the market who, in a game seven in recent history, was throwing between the legs Zaza passes and setting screens for Steph. Jordan Bell did. This exists.
On the road.
The film exists. I still can't believe it myself.
He probably won't play very much. I know people obsess over 10-day contracts. They obsess over names. They're playing eight people for a reason. They will stay with an eight-man rotation, maybe slide Bell in there here and there, but don't go crazy over this, Warriors fans. I know they will, but this is just an excess piece because they can't play Smiley Geach.
Yeah, which is a problem. Well, the funny thing about, you know, the fact that they're signing, you know, they're going to have Bell, they might have another player coming soon, that is that they could have used them more on, like, that recent road trip when they were just, like, tiring out of bodies. Yeah, once you get to play and once you get to potential playoffs, the rotation would have been short anyways. That's when you're going for it. Now, to me, Bell is very unlikely to push himself into the rotation. The softest spot currently with this eight-man lineup, to me, is the Mulder spot. And what you look at there is, can Damian Lee fight his way back onto the court? I don't know. Did you see his press conference the other day talking about,
I know I didn't see it, but it didn't sound great.
Yeah. Sure, well, today apparently he's back on the court. Like, you know, very light work. This was the first time he's been back on the court, but I guess there's a chance he's kind of trying to, ramp it up a little bit and see if he can make a return at some point. I'd probably view that as unlikely. The Kelly Oubre possibility lingers out there if his wrist responds enough, if he feels like it's not painful enough. That's, to me, that's a big swing factor, because you give Oubre, you know, you give a healthy Oubre suddenly Michael Mulder's minutes. To me, they're just a more dynamic team.
By the way, Pascal, is he going
to
play?
So they keep saying he's the closest to a return, and they keep saying, oh, he's playing 3-on-3 today. Like, he's been on the court now for, like, I think 8-9 days. But they keep not, you know, they keep ruling him out, like, the day before the game, not even giving, you know, essentially acting like it's a question. They still think that he might be back before the end of the regular season. The problem is they're not practicing. They do have a two-day break coming up. They play tomorrow. Then they'll obviously take Wednesday off completely, and then I believe they'll practice Thursday. My guess would be they try to get Pascal a full Thursday practice, and maybe he returns Friday. And to me, he would, if that would be the same day you're likely to have Jordan Bell back in the mix, I think he'll still be ahead of Bell in the pecking order.
He'd be ahead of Bell. He'd be ahead of Bell. No, I don't think you're going to see Jordan Bell as a second unit center or something like that. although as Pascal can only give you 2 minutes at a time, who knows? But that one's been, you know, again, you don't know with injuries, but I would have thought Pascal would have been in by now, just to give him something, give him a body.
They were talking about him being in, and like they had an update on him, and were like, the hope is that he could possibly return to action by the end of the upcoming road trip. And that was the last 4-game road trip. Now they're 3 games into this homestand, and he still hasn't returned.
It is interesting. But, you know, again, you never know with injuries. You never know how they can be affected. You never, like, did he get practice time? Did he don't get practice time? All understood. Oh, we got to talk about Draymond being asked if he's who he thinks the defensive player of the year is. That was a good moment there.
Well, it's funny. I just clipped up that part. He was actually asked before that, like, kind of more specifically about defensive player of the year, like as an award, and he was like going into this whole thing that was clearly kind of like subliminally taking shots at Rudy Gobert. And then in the middle, he goes, I know people are going to think I'm saying this about Rudy Gobert, but I'm not. But he was basically saying, like, steal blocks numbers don't tell nearly the full story. It's about, you know, the way you impact the game. He even had a moment where he said some of the worst defenders in the NBA history have led the league in steals. And Steph was in the room, apparently, and raised his hand. And Draymond admitted that Steph raised his hand, but then said, and then I just felt the need to nudge him a little bit there. I knew what his answer was going to be. I just wanted to see how he responded to it. Asked him who was going to win Defensive Player of the Year. Clearly, he believes it's him. But the truth on both of these big awards, MVP and Defensive Player of the Year, the Warriors just haven't had the team success to where the electorate, the voters are going to vote. Curry MVP, not happening. Draymond Defensive Player of the Year, not happening. It's just, the reality is they're the 8 seed. And that's just, it doesn't happen.
And we're like the 10 seed for quite a bit of the season, too. So, absolutely. But I just like the answer. You know me well, Anthony. Come on. That's good. I wish he'd said, you know me well, Slaker. That would have been the true. Yeah.
I'm sure he's saving. I'm sure he's saving that Davis for like pregame or postgame of the play-in.
you got Anthony Davis as your defensive player of the year. I'm clearly right. That's what you got, Slaker. Oh well, good moments, Zoom moments. We'll save a bunch of them for our memory banks when we never have them ever again. Hopefully, very very.
The
soon.
End of Zoom is it? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, who knows? Who knows? You know me, I am not a big Zoom. I just don't. I mean, there are obvious reasons why we don't like them. I mean, I give full credit to you guys who are doing them every day, because it has to happen. We need to hear from people, coaches and players. But I just hate them. It's just the clunky interaction. I just don't like it. I like the one-on-one look in the eye. I like the, read the body language. I just like that. And Zoom is tough for that. I'll just throw that in there. And as a columnist, I have decided to take the luxury of not doing it that way. So.
No doubt. Anything else about this Warriors team before I sign us off?
I'll throw a crazy one people throw out there. It's like, okay, say the Warriors somehow end up through the play-in, end up playing the Jazz. Is this these two wins over them, the last two games, mean anything?
I don't think so. Like you said earlier, no Mitchell, no Conley. That changes the entire mix. And
two guys who hurt the Warriors, I think, too. Like, what's really hurt the Warriors, I think, is penetration and then kickouts. And, it's a lot different when Joe Ingles is getting the ball wide open, standing still, feet set after a Donovan Mitchell kickout. It's a lot different when, any number of those guys are just standing, waiting for that pass to go up. Or Gobert gets those lobs a lot easier from those kind of Mike Conley drives. I really do feel that's a huge difference. Again, but they may not be 100% going into the playoffs. Like, you might get them in the first round, and they're neither.
Yeah,
the
one thing I will say about that is all these teams that aren't in the play-in are going to get very rare new, like, 6 days off, I believe, from, you get the Sunday end of the regular season, and then the play-in, I think, is like a 4-day thing during the week.
Yeah, because nobody's playing back. Yeah, nobody's playing back.
I think the first round of the playoffs doesn't start till that next Saturday. So it's like a 5-6 day, which like, you know, for banged up teams, that's extra rest. For teams that feel like they need a rhythm, that's like 3 or 4 like really good practices. It's like training camp style practices going into the playoffs. That'll be very helpful. And you know, honestly, you know, not beneficial for teams like the Warriors and Lakers or whoever's in the play-in. But you know, that's another story.
Don't go and play.
The one other thing I want to say about Utah: 31-4 at home this season. Remember when the Warriors went into Utah this season? I believe they hit.
Yeah, Warriors aren't likely to win a game there.
Yeah,
down 2-0, having to win two at Chase just to even it up is tough. And again, Conley and Donovan Mitchell are two expressly dangerous players for the Warriors. And you know me about six men, these shooting, you know, these guys, volume shooters. I just don't think they're that valuable. They can be valuable in moments. They're not the most valuable player. They're certainly not as valuable as everyone thinks they are over the course of the season. You know, Jamal Crawford, Marcus winces every time I say that. How many big playoff series has Jamal Crawford been the difference in?
Jamal Crawford, you know, tough realization for Jordan Poole for you, though, because that seems to be the Jordan Poole pathway.
Yeah, but then in moments, but you know, that's better than where he's been. You know, that's the other thing. Like, it's better than where he's been. There is a role there. I'm not saying they have no role. I'm not saying they're unimportant, especially on the team with Steph Curry. All you have to do is make three baskets in the 5 minutes, 5.5 minutes he's resting. But it's not like these guys are as valuable as it is offered up many times. Oh my God, he's just a walking bucket. Yeah, but then the other times when he's over six, kill you. That's my point. But then, you know, Clarkson almost wins the game. And it does weigh both ways. But as anyone who reads me knows, I just think those high volume shooters who don't pass the ball. By the way, Jordan Clarkson, 41 points, 0 assists. Those guys aren't as valuable as the 41 points. They just aren't. And Jordan Clarkson was a game worse, -17.
And it was like -28 at one point.
That's with the huge rally at the end. That is not a great way to say this person is incredibly valuable.
I actually think I'm going to vote Joe Ingles Sixth Man of the Year. I haven't made that official, but
it's just how deep they are, though. They both those guys coming off the bench. That's a deep team. That is a really deep team.
Another informative night tomorrow. The Suns, who are the only other possible first round opponent for the Warriors, are in, and I think they're mostly full strength. We'll see. I mean, there can always be late additions to the injury report, but they're fighting Utah. The Warriors actually did the Suns a favor tonight, and beat Utah, so that opens the door for them. I'm interested to see that matchup because, you know, to me, we've seen more Utah Warriors, you know, that mix on the floor together to have an idea of what a playoff series might look like. We have seen very little Warriors Suns, really. I mean, remember the game in Phoenix before the All-Star break? Steph and Draymond didn't even play. So, like,
And hasn't Booker missed a couple of games against the Warriors, or at least one of them, I know. You know, it's... Yeah, I don't have a good feel for other than we have a feel for Chris Paul against the Warriors just because we've seen that matchup so often. But that team against the Warriors, haven't really seen it. You know, obviously Phoenix has had a great season. And they've got a lot of players. You know, they've got Sarek on this team. I forgot they did. They got Frank Kaminsky on this team. Like, who knew? Like, some of these guys just pop up and you're like, oh, man. They're deep too. They're not quite as deep, I think, shooting wise as the Jazz, but they've got players, and obviously Chris Paul's a fantastic player, and Devin Booker is a fantastic player, and they're healthy. So we'll see what the Warriors can
do. All right, we will talk to you soon. Thanks for coming on, Tim.
Yep.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.